But the Lord wants to express to Peter, I do not have to pay. And Peter says, gives the correct answer in verse 26, of strangers. And the Lord says, then are the children free. You see, the Lord is that king. He's the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He's the one that owns the wealth in every mine. He's the one that's going to come and rule over this earth. He is the one to whom others will bring tribute to. And we are elevated, those of us that believe in the Lord Jesus, we are elevated as his children. So in that sense, we don't have to pay either. Not in his kingdom. We are his children. Because the Lord says, then are the children free. Now the Lord could have simply said that was the end of the conversation and say that we will not pay this tax. But he doesn't. He goes on and he talks about, notwithstanding lest we should offend them. And you know, this is another theme through this portion, going into the very next chapter. Offense, offense. Offending yourself with your hand or your eye. Offending another, offending a brother. Offending those collecting taxes. And so the Lord answers, not lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee. Now, this is another fishing lesson for Peter. The Lord is now not only the one who knows all, but he's the one who is all-powerful. He is the one that controls the fish in the sea. He is the one who has the power to cause one fish to swim by a hook that Peter places, and it's the first fish that Peter catches that has this coin in its mouth. Not in its belly, in its mouth. Make it easy for you. Once you pull that fish up, it's right there. It's staring in the face. And that piece of money is sufficient to pay the exact amount that not only I will pay for myself, Peter, but will also pay for you. The two of us, it'll be the exact amount. Now, what is the likelihood of that happening? It's impossible. It's a miracle. The Lord would guide that fish, perhaps a minute before Peter put the hook down. I can't imagine how, but that fish would come along the ground of the, and there was a coin thrown in. Somebody threw a coin or dropped a coin some at a time. And that fish would just not only grab that coin, but then grab that hook. And Peter would catch the first, it says the first fish. Now, Peter knows a lot about fishing. And this is not an ordinary way of fishing, right? This is not the way it is. But this is how the Lord shows his omnipotence, his all-powerfulness. And I think of that fact that he is not only the anointed prophet, and he is not only, and he is that King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is the all-powerful one, the Creator God. This is the Lord Jesus. And it's in connection with this temple money. You know, he, the Lord, not only didn't have to pay it because he is the king, but he's also that great high priest. He is the one in whom the gifts should be given to, not be taken from. And so this was a lesson for Peter. Now, that might have been the end of the story, but I think it's very noticeable that at the very beginning of this next chapter, it says, and at the same time. And one has the sense that after he finished with Peter, there was a very short time, maybe it just happened immediately after, when all the disciples were in that house in Capernaum, that he knew they were arguing about something on the way. Of course he knew what they were arguing about. And they come here, in this gospel it's displayed this way, that they ask, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And I often think about what that conversation must have sounded like, you know. Can you imagine? when they were on their way, after hearing the Lord telling them that the Lord himself is going to be killed and rise the third day, that their thoughts about what this kingdom would be might have to be altered. They're still focused on this earthly kingdom that the Lord had talked that they had heard of, and they're thinking of greatness. You know, what a sad conversation. I'm so glad that the scriptures did not record that conversation for us. We have no details at all, but I can speculate, and I think you can too. Can you imagine Peter saying to perhaps his brother Andrew, well, I'm greater than you because I'm older than you. And Andrew said, oh, wait a minute, I bring people to the Lord more than you do. And then James and John, you know, the same argument and so forth and so forth. One, oh, well, I'm a zealot. You know, I'm on the right political party. I'm greater than you. What a sad conversation, right? Judas could say, well, I have the money bag. You know, and imagine, who is the greatest? I don't think they were thinking about Moses and Abraham. And I think they left the Lord out. I think they left the Lord out. And that's what happens when our eyes aren't focused on the Lord. And we're thinking about the greatest. We have a perception of greatness based on the world's value. You know, what does the world say is great? You know, greatness in many facets, you know. The most talented singer, the most wealthy individual, the most powerful person. This is greatness in the world's eyes. And we need a transformation in our hearts and our minds of what greatness is. When the Lord Jesus came, he came lowly, as we read in Zechariah 9, verse 9. And he came as that humble servant. And he would say, as it is enough for the servant to be as his master. And here, he takes a little child and he gives them an object lesson. He brings that little child in front of them. And I think that little child, that expression, little child, it probably was a 3 or 4 year old, a very little child. And just placed him there in front of them. And he speaks about conversion. He talks about unless you change, unless you have a conversion in your heart and mind, except you be converted and become as this little child, you won't even enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, true greatness and God's kingdom is all connected with faith, that childlike faith. What is a child like? What is the Lord speaking about? He's speaking about simply trust, trusting what God has said, trusting him. Trusting the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. Trusting God and his word. This is greatness. It's not based on how smart you are or how much you have or where you've been or where you're going to go. It's all about faith as a child. Except ye be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What a lesson the Lord gives here. He expects each one to do that, to humble ourselves. Each of those disciples had to take another look of what real greatness is. Not as the world around them, not as maybe perhaps their own heritage of what they thought greatness was, but as God shows greatness. And, of course, the greatest one of all is the one speaking to them. It's the Lord himself. And so may the Lord help us. May we see him as the one who is speaking to Peter, is the one who is all-knowing. He knew what went on with Peter in a conversation where he wasn't present. And the one who is all-powerful, who can provide for what is needed, even though it seems impossible. And then the one who would teach us what greatness is, being great in the kingdom of heaven, is being as a child and showing that trust and faith in him.